Hello, and welcome to
The Bus Vector. Dum, dum,
dum. Here with a literal carrot in the office. I get it. Yeah, here we are. It's Friday. Pretty different for The Bus Vector. We do it on Fridays, my bad. Here on Willis Street with the microphone that got damaged in the move.
Oh, that is kind of damaged. It's yeah. Really got a big dent on the top.
Quite damaged. It's like replaceable. We can replace this bit, but it's like the like cagey bit on the microphone got pretty dented. So.
Oh wow.
So I don't know. Have we seen any buses or anything running red lights in the last little bit? I don't think we have.
No, I think since 5 o'clock, I don't think we've seen anything.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see. Let's have a guess. How many do you think are going to run a red light tonight?
I believe we are going to have four and a third buses running red light.
Four and a third.
And I think we're going to have 3 2/3 are going to stop in the ASB.
The ASB, also known as the ABS. Oh, ASB, the bank. Yeah, okay, I gotcha. What you're talking about before. Okay, so we see four. I'm going to say, oh, look, someone's running to catch their bus. You missed them. I'm going to say, someone's flying a thing around the office and it like almost got us. I'm going to say four buses running red lights.
Four buses, all right.
Running red lights. And wait, how many did you say for the ASBs?
I said 3 2/3.
3 2/3. I'm going to say four. I'm going to go four for both.
Four
for both times. Yeah.
Well, I also average out to four as well, I think.
If you average out to it. Oh, wow. Okay. Mean. ABS violation is the advanced stop box, also known as the advanced bicycle stop, the green box. So you see that car just went past the red
council
box.
Only says green advanced box. Stopping box.
Yeah, yeah. ABS is wrong. We just didn't know last week.
And Hugh just doesn't want to change it.
It's kind of funny to have it wrong. Oh, look at that bus. I guess he's not really going through a red. He's not really. He's okay. Yeah, so we've got more news this week than I thought we would. I thought it was a kind of slow news week. So we got Hacker Summer Camp this week, right? DEF CON, Black Hat, that kind of thing.
B-Sides, Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
Dyna Initiative.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of confusing. Someone was talking about, like, oh, tickets for B-Sides. And I was like, oh, that's cool. People are talking about B-Sides Perth already. But no, they were actually not talking about it. Yeah, the green thing, mate. It's a criminal for... I think it is. It might not be. It's hard to tell. Do you know if...
I don't know if motorbikes are allowed to stop or not.
They might be like a bit of a grey area because you probably meet the same... So it's for cyclists, so they can take off faster and it's more grippy, I believe. Like a motorcycle needs those same things. So it kind of makes sense.
And the dots they have there are actually where you put your bike, so it gets sensored, so it actually detects that you're waiting there on a bike.
Yeah, so on a motorcycle, you've probably had the situation, Pepe, where it just doesn't detect you. I mean, fuck, you've had it in cars before. Sometimes you drive your car up and it's just like, nah, and you're like, great, I have to break the law to get home. I think it's meant to be moped and cycle, but... Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when you go in front of the judge and you say, well, Hugh Davenport told me he thought motorcycles should probably be allowed. I don't know. I think you probably wouldn't get in trouble for it, but I don't know if it's legal. So who knows? That's what it is anyway.
All got an orange coming up and the bus
We can see him in front of us. He's not even close.
Oh, no.
You walk
he's
over to the crossing button. Oh, so you can trigger like a light change? Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I would... I don't know what I'd do in that situation. In the car, normally it only happens late at night, and I'll just go on a red light. But yeah, there are some situations where if it is broken, you're fucked. You're basically just like, oh great, I literally can't turn here. There's cars behind me. I can't do anything. What am I going to do? Only cycles. There we are. Hugh Davenport giving us the information. $60 if you do it. There you are. So if you...
Oh, yeah.
We're going to count that.
That he's over the line.
That's an ABS violation right there.
That's $60 to the council.
Yeah, if they want to choose to prosecute this bus. That is route number one.
To Granada Village.
I can't see his number anywhere.
And the time is 17:08.
Yeah. So, yeah, cars always stop on that thing. Actually, well, I've noticed it's really bad on at our old intersection with the cars. You know, the cars go straight through at our old intersection. What street is that?
Manners Victoria.
Yeah. So on Victoria Street, because there's such like a big gap there, the cars basically just go through and then stop on the cycle box all the time. Like, I don't know. It's annoying. I mean, cars do it all the time. This guy didn't. Oh, look at him. He's pretty close, but he's following the intent, right? He's like, oh, I probably shouldn't be on that. Oh, he did okay.
But he's also not a professional driver, so.
It's true. Oh, that guy went through it orange. Yeah, it was red by the time he got there. It was a very short cycle that time, actually. Yeah, $60 for cars as well. I believe so. So that's a fine if you're on it when you shouldn't be. I think pedestrians might get a free pass. It seems unlikely the cops would ever prosecute it, though, because, like, it's just, you know, they don't care.
Well, yeah, well, maybe, hey, once we do this and we start advertising the fact, they can come for, if they got their quotas to do, they can come down here on Friday night, get their quota done quite quickly.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned it before. It's funny when people are like, oh, that was an old car, mustard yellow. When people are like, oh, man, the cops are just quota filling. And I'm like, yeah, but you're just breaking the law. Like, It's not like they baited you into breaking the law. You broke the law and they were like, I'm going to ticket that guy. Yeah, so, you know, I get it. But also, yeah. Yeah, like, I guess there's better things cops could be doing than fining people for going in the box. Look at the skateboarder.
Skateboarder going through the red light.
Okay, we got any news for the week then? Let's have a look. Which lane did you want to start in today?
Hacker Summer Camp.
Summer camp lane, okay.
Yeah.
We've got pre-summer camp here to start with. The very first item is before summer camp, isn't it? This came out.
That came out at the weekend, so it's almost very related-ish to the...
Yeah, I guess they picked the timing. So this was the Hashcat guys released this, right?
Yep.
This is the kind of like improvement on WPA2 cracking. So previously you needed to capture a full four-way handshake with a legitimate client and a legitimate AP. So you need to kind of like monitor that entire thing. And you can inject the authentication packets and it'll redo the authentication and then you can monitor that. So there were ways of doing it, but it did require a client to be connected and I'd say it's flaky. It worked, but it was like... You know.
Yeah, also because particularly you could sometimes see that the messages coming out of the access point, but you couldn't see the returns from the client device, particularly if you're on one, if it was like you, access point, then client device.
Yeah.
You quite often only see the access point, so you'd only get half the four-way handshake.
Or if you have like if you have a long-range antenna but not something else, and then it just doesn't even work so good. What's that? The text just stopped a green light. What do we do? Does he get to find the police? What, does the taxi driver get to find the police? I don't think so.
I mean, if the cops wanted to do it, they don't have fire to come. They can just run down Choose Lane there, and basically the other end of that little lane there is the main Wellington cop shop.
I actually walked past there before and was like, damn, we are way too close to the cop shop for comfort.
Well, I remember a few years back, in their apartment building, sort of on Choose Lane, someone actually had a meth cookhouse.
That's great.
So totally under, you know, do it under the nose of the cops.
The nose, I guess.
Over the nose, yeah. Yeah, and they did it there, sort of.
But they look like such fancy apartments.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Are those ones, those are the Choose Lane apartments, like, that you can see.
Way
right?
up, yeah. Yeah.
They look kind of nice. I might check it out, see if we can move there. I knew someone who was like a government employee who we did I'm going to rephrase this.
It's still green.
Yeah, if it turns red, I would count that as being over a red light. It's pretty close, but I think
because he entered an intersection that he could not safely exit.
Looks like they're moving because you can see in the other camera they're moving. Oh, that one's picking up passengers though. He might not make it.
Orange.
He's not
orange. Red.
Yeah, I'm willing to count that. He probably shouldn't have gone, and it's not like he saved any time by doing it anyway.
And people are having to walk around them.
Yeah, like barely. It's a little bit, but I would say that, yeah, he probably shouldn't have done that. Kind of. Maybe we could 0.5 because he was only like a tiny bit over.
Want to
do one?
Oh, no, we can do 0.5. He's not here, right?
0.5, yeah. He's going to do it while he can't stop us. Yeah, that's pretty good. But see, it's a small cycle that time as well. Like, I guess there's no like, not much of a kind of like minimum time at screen four.
Yeah, I think the more people press the button, that will just, as soon as you press the button, it goes into the cycle. If no one presses the button, it will stay green until someone presses it. So maybe some ingenious bus factor fan would like to have a little clicker that could sit there and basically just keep pressing their entire time.
We wait for a bus to enter the intersection when it shouldn't, and then press it and just watch them get hit with reds every time.
Oh, this is a double decker.
Does anyone know any bus jokes? I wouldn't count that as like, okay, he is in the wrong, but I'm not going to count it because the part where people walk, he's not blocking it. Oh, there we are.
But we killed the last one for half.
Someone's using the ABS. Yeah, but the last one was further into the white, I reckon.
Oh, true.
We'll count him as a quarter.
A quarter.
I'm not going to do thirds because that gets like hard.
You want rational numbers.
Yeah, a third and a half is pretty annoying to deal with. So we saw the ABS be used appropriately. It's true. So like, bus drivers aren't always 100% aware of how they'll fit and that kind of thing. Like, I don't really have a problem with that. So, yeah, why not kind of? It's not like we're making complaints this week as well. So it's not like anyone can be like, man, you're going to get the bus driver fired. I mean, maybe, but not likely.
They're short of too many bus drivers to fire them, right?
Yeah, true. My mom says it's like having a track and stuff. Like, they're just kind of, yeah, gotcha. A good metaphor. With the WPA, what's the improvement?
I think the improvements now, instead of needing the four-way handshake, you only just need one of the four ways to actually start doing the same attack you would previously.
You can initiate it yourself, right?
Well,
is that how it works? You don't need a valid client anymore.
You don't need the valid client anymore. Yeah, I think just the normal background noise, that the first challenge that the access point gives you, I think has enough information in it that you can actually start cracking from that.
Yeah. So, it's one of those improvements that, like, to be honest, it's not often, because people kind of get the idea, long passwords, uncrackable. It's not often I see super crackable WPA.
Ooh, go to the other window for a moment.
He's over the white, I think.
He's over the white? What counts? Does it just have to be fully behind the white, or if he's over the white, or does he need to be in the white and over the green?
I feel like I'm going to let that one slide. Because like I think it's like part of it is intent, right?
All right, so if he was touching if he was over the green,
we'd call it,
if it was a sub-millimeter over the green, we'd call it.
I think we would, but we might give him a half or something.
Well, it does a professional driver, though.
Yeah, it is. He probably shouldn't have gone quite that close. But, yeah. Well, look, more cyclists. Or maybe cyclists and two cyclists.
Oh, timed that impeccably well. It went green just as it was going through.
Yeah. It's fun to do that when you're driving as well, to time the lights and be like, slow down, go. Technically, it's if you encroach it, but they look legit, you missed a full red. A bus going through a full red? No, we can. I'm gonna trust you. I'd trust him if he was here. So let's go 1.75. We sometimes get caught up talking about other stuff. I found out the decibel is like the reflection. People have mentioned that the lights are for reflection. There's also conspiracy theories. It's for other reasons.
Yeah, well, because I did test it out. I did go on a blue bus, and because we're at a bus stop and they've got the doors open, they've got a white light on. I could see the veins in my arm. When the doors closed, it went blue, and I could no longer see the veins in my arm.
Yeah.
conspiracy theory proved. And I have been on a bus that only had the white lights, and it seemed to be the same from where I was sitting on the front windscreen. It seemed to be about the same glare.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy the glare argument given. Okay, because they also said, like, oh, everywhere in the world uses these blue lights. No. And if it was an issue, if let's say it was just measurable, let's say someone did a study and was like, yes, blue lights cause less crashes. That would be something. I don't think that exists.
Yeah, and if it was truly a safety issue, why do we still have buses with white lights, new buses with white lights, the shortest buses?
Yeah, it seems unlikely to me that it is a safety issue, but, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, and if it was a safety issue, NZTA would mandate it for all buses in the country.
Yeah. I heard that the white lights don't actually turn off, so there's blue and white. Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, because I've seen some blue lights run during the day, some don't. And also, someone else pointed out that there's no well-defined exit for this intersection. It's true. If you look at the lines, where's the exit? There's no well-defined exit.
Yeah, well, I think the exit would be, we'd call that the pedestrian crossing.
Yeah, so back before when he was kind of, you know, just touching the pedestrian crossing, we gave him like a quarter or something.
But we also see there's actually, they unmark it green for the bus lane on the other side. So that kind of gives you an indication where they believe it was.
Yeah, it's I'm willing to be lenient on this intersection, especially because, you know, if you're not blocking pedestrians, then it's not like it's causing a problem for anyone. Though that being said, you know, this is just gamified bus watching, so it's not like it. We could just make it anywhere we wanted, really, and just be like, this is it. We're doing it. Okay, so the WBA thing, it's easier to crack, but, you know, it's still pretty hard anyway, so blah. We've got another WPA bug. So this one is in WPA Supplicant, which is the kind of like Wi-Fi security thing for Linux, which includes Android. So I negotiate your keys and whatnot. Looks like there's a bug in that. It's kind of like what was that taxi up to? Is he parking? Is he parked or not parked?
Loading zone, I believe.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because he's like a little bit over. Anyway, it looks like there's major violation. That's a $60 fine. I would give that guy $120 because of how egregious it was.
85X.
Just X as in he doesn't care about the law, am I right? He's that kind of X. Yeah, this set of lights is way not exciting. It's the last one. What we do want to do is set up remote monitoring stations throughout the city and have a big control panel
throughout the world.
Throughout the world. Yeah, throughout the world. Because we can probably get the location of the Malvern buses as well. Though I think that's a similar intersection to this where it's not as
interesting. No, when I was over in Melbourne last, I did have a look out the window. They see proper four-way intersection, yeah, and the bus is going on there. It's sort of up a bit from the street, but yeah, it is possible.
Yeah, so that might be good. We'd probably do like a 5-minute delay on that stream, and that way we can get the quality decent, right, something like that. But yeah, no, it'd be nice to have more intersections to monitor, and then we can like switch to the ones where, like, if the lights are green, cut away to an intersection where they're red. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah, you get all the timing and the synchronization going. And
yeah, it's a fun little project if anyone has a spare, I don't know, 6 months and lots of money for outdoor camera setups and the permits and yeah, it's a bit of effort.
Well, if you stuck it out your own window, do you really need a permit?
Well, I guess it depends how many intersections you want to monitor, doesn't it? If you want to do lots of them, you probably want to like set them up outside. I would call that a violation.
Yeah, I'd call that, yeah.
Because if there was a cyclist there, in fact, there's a cyclist behind him. You look, if you see on this camera, there's a cyclist behind him. On the right camera, you can see a cyclist.
Yeah, it was behind, there's another bus and then the cyclist.
Yeah, there is a cyclist who, I mean, not that he could get that close anyway, but still, ABS violation 3.
And the cyclist will just be going past now.
There he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, the WPA supplicant bug is if you're using TKIP encryption.
Yes, with WPA 2.
With WPA 2. And
it's 2018, and why the fuck are you using TKIP?
Yeah. It's an option. Also, I, for a long time, when the router's like, hey, do you want to use AES, TKIP, or AES and TKIP? I was like, both. That's double the encryption. Why wouldn't I want that? Yeah, TKIP it, then AES it. Hell yeah, that's twice the encryption.
Oh, there's a cyclist going down the wrong side of the road.
He was trying to get past that car. Didn't do a good job there, did he?
No.
So I used to be like, yeah, hell yeah, I want both of those. Twice think, yeah, turns out it doesn't work like that. You actually just want AES. What about account on cyclists going through red lights? We don't actually see that many cyclists going through red lights. Skateboarders, I see a lot of. A lot of skateboarders will go through red lights. Cyclists at this intersection tend not to do it. Not as much. The buses are going through reds
more often at this intersection. But I do admit a lot of cyclists do at some intersections go through reds. But and they also go through the green. When you got a green man to cross, they'll weave through the traffic. And that's the one that irks me as a pedestrian.
Yeah, I think it depends. So if basically no one's crossing, I'm like, whatever. You know, like, it's fine. Because the thing is, if a cyclist messes up and hits into someone, it sucks. Someone can have in hospital, probably not going to die. Right? Whereas if a bus does it, it's
It also depends on the speed of the cyclist. If they're sort of at sub-walking pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they actually just come be flying through.
Full speed and they're like weaving. Yeah, that's
yeah, yeah.
Super great. Look at that bus. Zooming along. Someone said, what about people going through red lights? Because we only care about professional drivers, we don't count them. But yeah, people just cross whenever the hell they want. It was much more fun at the last set where they would cross and get hit by buses, right? I don't think anyone's going to die here. Maybe on the right camera you'll be able to see someone die. Who knows?
Most of them happened further up from that right-hand intersection.
Yeah. Someone said cyclists can kill pedestrians. Who said that? It's true. It's just not likely. What's more likely? You know, like a headline, cyclist hits into pedestrian and kills them. You'd be like, wow, crazy. Versus bus kills pedestrian, you'll be like, yeah, that happens in Wellington, sucks. You know what I mean? Like, it just...
Yeah, well if we're discussing cyclists and his stuff, there was the railway station, the Wellington railway station this week, about Monday, I believe it was, a bus drove into a cyclist.
Was this like high speed? It can't have been high speed.
No, I didn't hear about a death, so I assume it wasn't at high speed, but...
Yeah.
New bus drivers getting their quota of cyclists.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the picture of the bus driver who was blocking both lanes of traffic? Like, he was sideways across the road? Did you see that picture?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He decided to do an infinite point turn and got stuck.
He just got stuck and he was just blocking both lanes of traffic going both ways. It was crazy. Oh, you're biting your tongue, sucks. Shit intersection, the windscreen... was it you, Hugh? Did you get hit by the bus? If the windscreen has a dent from hitting someone, that's pretty brutal. The bus that like was sideways across the road was pretty good. So at one point, someone was like, "Oh, maybe it's the bus driver's way of doing like a protest." You know, like fuck you for not paying me enough. I'm gonna I tried to turn around and I couldn't do it. Just kind of
I went the wrong way. Yeah. Tried to do an infinite point turn.
Yeah,
still doing the infinite point here because it's infinite points.
Yeah, got stuck.
But I think last week was good for stuck buses, like going down the wrong way and running out of diesel.
Was it cyclist bus collide pictures? I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna click them on this because it's like slightly annoying. But for our viewers who are in the chat, you can check those out and have a look. So what else we had in the bus? So the cyclist who got hurt, we've got that one.
Yeah, there's been another bus crash up in Taranaki, which killed the driver.
Yeah, a death. So we saw...
It was a school bus. Yeah.
It was a school bus. Damn. Yeah. We saw a death last week and also just some injuries last week as well.
Yeah, I think last week there was the Toro one.
Yeah.
And coming down from the Toro ski field. That killed one of the passengers, I believe.
A child. Was, yeah.
There was another one that crashed in the Manawatu. There was a party, a group of Maori coming back from a protest in Wellington.
Yeah.
And then this time up in Taranaki. And there's the common factor of all of them, the Mitsubishi Fuso buses.
So is that just a really common bus in New Zealand? Or is there like something...
That's sort of like they are the... Minibuses, sort of
the smaller ones.
Yeah, the smaller ones, sort of random rural areas.
Oh, that person
areas.
Just went through it, like, blatantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were in a bus driver and a crash that killed a kid, you'd never ride again. Even, like, if just any situation where a kid dies, like, whoever, even if you're not responsible, it's just like you're fucking fucked, right? Like, you just...
Are you going to count that red from just before?
Oh, the car that went through?
I thought it was a bus.
I saw a car go through.
I saw a bus because I'm looking at it. The bus is the next one. I'm looking up the street, not as far. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we can count it. We haven't got many weird light runners. Let's count it. I didn't see it. I saw a car go through, but not a bus. Yeah, that guy there. I'm gonna say he's safe. The guy who's currently in the intersection, he's through almost all of it. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my fears. When I was driving, you kill a kid accidentally. Kid runs in front of you, you hit them. It's not your fault,
yeah. But
you killed a kid, so fuck. What else we got? Any more? There was the, Dave's bus service. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say it's my thing or...
Well,
I'm not the first person to do it.
Yeah, okay.
There are people who have been doing it for longer and have collected more data about Wellington. But I've got this little thing, that you give it a bus stop ID. All the bus stops have a 4-digit number in Wellington. Mm-hmm. And it basically that just went through a red.
Oh, damn, it did too. That was crazy. I'm going to watch that on the replay. So it turns red and ABS violation as well.
At ASB, yeah.
That was... Okay, so that bus, though, that was...
Because that was also moving when it went through. It did not want to slow down.
Yeah, no, it was like orange, turned red, and then it went through. That's the kind of thing that could hurt someone, actually.
Yeah, because people may have started crossing. Oh, we can't actually see the crossing lights from here, so we don't know what the difference is.
It's normally about a second. Though we can't really see... Depending on if we get like a glow going on. We can also see that we can from our office see, so we can set up multiple little cameras. But still, that was pretty.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you're logging the data that comes from each particular stop.
Yeah, and that's sort of from real-time information. And then what we can do is we can look at things about sort of how many delays have been through the day, how bad the delays
are. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Damn. And SWP, you're lucky we don't count civilian ABS violations because that is also over the top. So bus count, that was pretty clearly through a red light.
Yeah, it's I'm.
You're yes. winning the red lights, right?
Yeah.
And I'm winning the ABS violations, and it can't change. That's how it is. one each.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully I'll have some statistics about... I can maybe produce some statistics about how late the buses are.
I care more about cancelled buses. They say like, we have cancellation rates of like 1% or something. The number one was like cancelled every single... The other night, it was just cancelled every one of them from like 5 p.m. onwards or something.
Yeah. So basically, because currently there is... MetLink isn't releasing the data publicly, so it's basically us scraping the API of JSON is the only way we can actually hold accountability of...
Yeah, it doesn't seem like their numbers are super legit. It might be... Yeah, I guess the problem is if they're just like, there was, 1,000 routes and 5 popular ones got cancelled, so that's only 1%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like they might be correct, but I don't know.
Yeah, and the other thing is I'm not sure how willing to measure it, but in Auckland they measure on-time performance by departing the origin within like 2 minutes of the designated time. It's only so long as they leave on time.
Yeah, so I don't like that. I think it's important to track things like lateness, and I would say 2 minutes. If you're over 2 minutes late, only 2 minutes late, I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
Earliness, I don't think there should, like, earliness should be, if you're early by any amount of minutes, that should be a problem.
Yeah, because because people are trying to plan off this. And also, what I want to see is actually how accurate the timetables are. So get, sample all the bus stops along a route and see actually how long late they get. Because I did a quick little thing. I was like, looked at some of the...
Oh, I saw the graph, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was me just measuring it. So basically as the bus came in, it just got later and later and later. Also looked at some bus routes and the end-to-end time at peak hour was only between... This was the Karori to Miramar routes the whole way across the city. Mm-hmm. There was only like about 6 minutes difference between the peak end-to-end and the off-peak end-to-end.
Huh,
so I'm going... my gut's telling me that the time difference to get across town is going to be more than 6 minutes between peak and off peak.
Yeah.
And that's just driving traffic. And then you've also got the fact of during peak, you'll be picking up more people and dropping more people off as well.
Mm. The taxi's been there longer than 10 minutes. It definitely might have. I remember when it turned up, I was like, is the taxi stopping? But taxis. Like, taxis don't give a shit. There's no, like, regulatory authority who gives a shit enough to deal with taxis. So what are you going to do? Like, unless they hurt someone and then you can hurt the police. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's once you have the data, you can crunch some interesting numbers and basically just... Because the council has an incentive to mislead people. They have an incentive to not lie because they'll get in trouble. But misleading people, it's better for them to mislead people. Oh, yeah, so they did... What did they do, Dave? I'm going to go get a drink. So tell us what they did for 1 second.
All right. So this week the council has actually admitted they messed some things up and they're actually going to do some public consultation and actually discuss and look at some of the issues they've had, particularly some of the Karori routes. I think in Karori you've sort of got the main one that goes down the centre and then you've got some ones that sort of go to Karori South and Karori West. They're sort of maybe making those run a bit more actually off the Karori South, Karori West are sort of only peak services. So maybe actually looking at offering some during the day because those areas haven't been served particularly well. And the fact that Karori, which is New Zealand's biggest suburb, I believe, by population.
Yeah, someone said there's an old wives' tale that if Karori was any bigger, it would be classified as a city. And I want to say, I don't think cities work like that. But I get the idea.
Yeah, so I think because New Zealand's definition of a city is like only 10,000 people. So
don't you just you choose what's a city? Like it's part of Wellington, so it can't be its own city, right?
Yeah, would need to declare independence.
Yeah, yeah. Those Karorians will never do that. They'd never survive without Wellington.
Yeah, because yeah, they're also looking at because currently they also they've lost their direct connection to the hospital. You've sort of got to transfer at least once.
So that was the one they said they're planning on reinstating it, right?
To get it go past the hospital again.
Yeah, there's a few locations that probably should have direct route. Like, hospital is one, zoo is one, and the station is one, but that happens already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when we say the zoo, it should be... You should be able to get on at the railway station and get all the way to the zoo on one bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's it. And, yeah, because also that means... At least if you got Karori through the hospital, the western suburbs will actually go, right, so long as you might have a change in the western suburbs, then you can get all the way to the hospital. You don't have to get one to get into town, then you got to change, and then you got to change again. Mm. And that's the other thing I'm going to possibly look at with the data we're collecting is whether the connections, because we now got a connection-based model, is how often the connection departs before the... inbound bus type thing.
Yeah, so they, to be a city, they used to need a cathedral or population more than 30K. Oh, yeah, that's for a city in New Zealand. Yeah, I think the cathedral one's always a bit like, okay, weird. Southern Summers.
Oh, so it's 30,000, okay.
Biggest, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but if you're part of Auckland, can't just be like, oh, I'm a city, because you're already part of Auckland, which is a city.
But then Auckland, remember Auckland up to a few years ago, used to be a whole bunch of cities.
It used to be a bunch of cities.
Well, technically we've got Wellington, Lower Hutt, Upper Hutt, and Pararoa are all different city councils, all sitting under the Wellington Regional Council.
Yeah, but imagine living in one of those shitholes. Oh, horrible. Much rather live in Wellington. Wellington proper, as it were. I'm not going to call it Wellington City. I'm going to call it Wellington proper.
Well, there has been things of some of the suburbs and like Petone and Eastbourne have wanted to actually join Wellington and break away from Lower Hutt because of the similar sort of reasons.
Yeah. They're making changes. The council did say, Fincham's told us, Michael has told us, 6 months, they say, before it'll be good again. And I guess we're on schedule for that. You know, they're making changes now. They're like, we fucked up. We're making changes. 6 months, maybe we'll get it done. So, you know, maybe. Do you want to hit the last bus topics while we're here?
Oh, yeah, the last bus topics. Remember that trolley buses you would have seen sort of in previous bus factors?
Yeah, yeah. Good trolley buses that were fully electric. Fully electric buses that Wellington had that serviced our network and worked and... They had a few issues. Yep. Like some of the bus drivers, do you remember? They had an internal battery.
Yep.
But to use them, you had to go and pull the things off the thing and then use them. And some bus drivers just refused to do it. They're like, oh, network's out. I'm just going to stop here. And it's like, just it's been out for 5 minutes. Just go and drive the fucking bus.
Yeah, well, NZ Bus has got some government funding and...
Oh, was someone in the ABS? Is there an ABS violation? I'm going to count it.
Yeah,
Pepe wouldn't lie to us. Neither would you. Okay, let's...
But yes, they've got some government funding and they're going to convert the trolley buses into fully wireless.
Yeah, so they don't need the trolley, I guess. That's what you call the trolley, right?
Yeah, and they're going to put some high-speed chargers in as well with that government money. And on a similar note, I've actually got an OIA request into the regional council to ask, actually, how many sort of seat kilometres per day the trolley buses are doing and how long until we're going to have the same amount of seat kilometres on the new electric buses, because they keep talking about there's going to be electric buses, it's going to be great, all the electric buses should be here.
Just went through a red light.
Those should be here by 2020, and I'm going, that's most probably means that we're not actually going to be equal on the number of electric kilometres until then.
I do want to also say a cyclist just then stopped in the ABS and then it went green and he went. So I think generally cyclists do stop here. I think that came up earlier. Cyclists tend not to run red lights here. Yeah, so yeah, it'd be interesting to see, because it really irked me really bad when they were like, oh, Wellington's electric bus. And I'm like, we already had electric buses. You don't get to be like the first Wellington electric bus. I'm like, that's because you got rid of the other electric buses. Really ground my gears.
Yep. Yeah. And
a person running across the thing when they shouldn't. Yeah, that happens. Yeah. I think it's going to be a while before we reach the reach parity. Oh, also, because this is the last bus thing, I got a message before from a listener. Let me just grab it. So they've been complaining to Metlink, and one of the things they said was they got a, they were on a 23, I believe it was. 22. So on the 22, which is a half hourly service, and they sent this picture to Metlink. Can you see the problem with the half hourly 22?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that must be a very, very slow intersection.
Yeah. So they're on a 22, which is a half hourly service, and ahead of them by one car is
one van. They will take a little bit longer of time to cover that distance.
Yeah. So that's not very half hourly. I've seen ones. I've talked about it on the show before. Ones cluster up weirdly for various reasons. I don't think the 22 was meant to cluster like this.
No. The one clusters southbound because at the north end it splits into three. So, and the little tips at the start of the one are different lengths.
Yeah, so it clusters weirdly, and then they also said, this is good, that Metlink has been responding to their kind of like feedback/complaint emails, I guess you call them. Which it's good that they're responding, though. I mean, it doesn't really, like, who cares? You know, oh, great, you're admitting that you fucked up. Now fix the fucking buses, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they're also odd. It's like they'll reply to like some of your things on Twitter, and then I had one that I asked for, oh, do you have all your like your test plans and your notes from like for actually before you rolled it out? And they said, oh, yeah, we'll roll this through, and some other simpler questions. They've just gone tumbleweed through.
Yeah, it's a little bit
so
sporadic.
It's like it's interesting what they pick out.
Yeah, and which ones they're like, oh, sorry for this, versus which ones they're like, oh, not an issue. Like the Agile thing we've got, last thing here is someone was like, hey, you've got a bus stop here that isn't actually a bus stop anymore, but it's still physically here. So people are like waiting there for the bus when no bus is ever going to come. Bus shelter with no buses ever turning up. And they were like, I think they jokingly initially said like, oh, are you going to actually remove it? Or is Agile going to be mad if you do that? Agile being the advertisement company subsidiary. I don't think it's a subsidiary.
No, it's a third party company.
Third party that...
For profit company, yeah.
Yeah, that put buses in the bus stop.
Put ads in the bus stop.
Fuck them with their really bright adverts.
Yes.
Jesus.
Because they've got like LED screens with like infinitely brighter than the street light backlights.
Yeah, like I've gotten used to them, but I think they might have actually turned them down because when they first arrived, it was you'd be walking and you'd have to like shield your eyes from this like bus advert. I don't really like the paper ones, like the standard ones, but I'll put up with them because whatever, cheaper buses or something. The LED ones, fuck them. I seriously want to go around with a fucking axe and just go at them and just destroy them. Because if you do that eventually, I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying I would like it if someone did. You know what I mean? Dude, I'm not advocating that this happen, but if it does happen...
This is not an endorsement of the bus factor.
It's not an endorsement of the bus factor, but if it happened, I personally would appreciate it. So, yeah, because if you did it eventually, they'd stop putting them in. And fuck them. I don't like those adverts. Mad.
Yeah. Yeah, and back to the moral of the...
Oh, yes, the original thing that was happening. Yeah, so they were jokingly like, oh, is Adshel not going to like it if you get rid of this abandoned bus stop? And they were like, oh, yeah, that's the reason. We've got to work with Adshel before we can get rid of it.
Yeah, Adshel needs to find the next location for the bus shelter. It's not like, but you've got the snapper data. Shouldn't you go at the list of bus stops, go, what's the bus stop with the most passengers that currently doesn't have a shelter? Shouldn't it go there?
Yeah, like what does Adshel have to do with any of this? The fact that you even mentioning Adshel in this conversation is like a big problem. Like it shouldn't... Yeah, screw you guys. I don't care. Make Adshel get what they're given, you know?
Yeah, bus shelters are there to provide shelter for bus users.
Yeah, not the for Adshel to...
Advertising is a bonus. It is not it should not be a requirement or it should not factor into it.
Yeah,
at all.
And the fact that they seriously came back with this to what I think was originally like a bit of a cheeky little message.
And then they confirmed the cheeky little message.
Yeah, shelters shouldn't be there to advertise things, but it sounds like that's what they're there for. They're like, we should just put it where, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty salty about that one. Okay, yep. So.
Oh, back to the...
The InfoSec news of the week. We've still got... We've gone pretty good. We've gone to all the bus ones.
Yep.
What do we want to do here? The top one there, the next one we can do, is kind of on its own.
Did you discuss that last... The research around that last week?
The research? Oh, what? Are you talking about the thing? Because this is the Google...
Yeah.
It's written Google branded U2F. We did discuss the research. So this is...
Google hadn't been since about 18 months ago when they introduced
mandatory
U2F only, no TOTP, no SMS for their staff. They hadn't had a successful phishing attack.
Zero successful phishing attempts, which is like, yes, what you should be having. Now, I think anyone in the industry realizes, I think anyone who's in the industry, and I don't mean those people who think they're in the industry but are actually in compliance, those guys probably don't know shit. Anyone in the industry can understand why there's issues with SMS, right? And it's kind of funny to see people be like, you should never use SMS versus like, SMS is better than nothing. And it's like, everyone kind of understands.
If you're
I don't know.
Building a new system, just...
Yeah, don't...
Impact the best of breed, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because people point out that like, for some people, SMS is, if you lose your SIM card... You're not locked out of your phone. You just do a SIM swap.
Well, it becomes the telco's problem. It doesn't become the IT help desk's problem.
Which is people like that. So it's tough. I think everyone kind of understands the pros and cons of this. I err on the side of like, don't support SMS. And I think the Google study proves this, that you can roll out U2F in a big organization like Google or like whoever else, although Google's possibly a bit of an outlier that they're technical. And you can make this work. And I think you can do that. Just do it. Come on.
Yeah.
But the news story this week, I don't think it's much of a news story. Google's putting out their own branded U2F tokens.
Yep. Well, they're rebranding a USB only one and a Bluetooth one because they recommend to do the whole protected Gmail account, they say you should have a Bluetooth or an FC one. Such that you could do your phone as well and you could turn off SMS and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I...
There's a car, but it's... Yeah.
It's ABS violation. I brought one. I bought like a number, actually. I brought like a launcher because I was, shipping. So I was just like, hey, anyone want... These are the... No, I don't know how you're meant to pronounce it. F-E... Phytian. I thought it was like Phytician or something. Phytian? Phytian. So they're the ones who make it currently. I think Google's just branding it. I like both.
Fine supply chain, distribution chain, yeah.
Yeah, I like both. The YubiKey is the alternative U2F implementation that doesn't suck. There's a few like open source ones. They suck. I'd say stick to these two if you actually care about it. Oh. Are we going to count him if it
turns if he turns red.
Maybe another quarter, you reckon?
Yeah, because those people are sort of having, they can't walk straight across it because he is slightly over the line, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So when we say rebranding, what we mean is they're taking a product someone else made and putting their logo on it. It's not that they're rebranding a product that
It's gone red, so we can already count it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there we are. We're going to count that as a quarter, which actually brings us up to even five. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
I heard some beeping. Do you reckon that's coming from somewhere?
Yeah, I don't. Can't see the where the beeping's coming from.
Could have been on the right intersection there.
Yeah.
And the light's pretty on the right. There's so many like bright lights.
Yeah, they've got that sort of glow, evening glow going on.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting. Google branded stuff. And maybe it'll be good because it's kind of nice for Google to be like, here, it's the Google one. And they're like, okay, great, Google. I trust Google.
And I think one way, what I'd really like to see is we've got Realme in New Zealand, which is the government logon system. They currently provide SMS and TOTP and RSA tokens. It'll be really cool if this go, we're going to do U2F. We're going to get a bulk deal on, say, 8 or 9 million U2F tokens. So, because you need two. You need your primary one and a backup one.
Yeah, which is...
And then what becomes then is you go, all right, every person in New Zealand has a UTF token. I'm a bank. Huh. Everyone's already got the token. Everyone's already know how to use the token. How about I add the token?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, though. Like, yeah. I think governments are bad at...
Oh, another box violator.
Yeah, look at him. Box violator. I think that's what I'm going to call them from now on. Box violator. Sounds dirty, doesn't it? The box violator. Realme itself is a fucking failure.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Well, it's too expensive. It's like per logon.
It costs money per logon?
Yeah. Every time someone actually auths to your system via Realme, that they clip the ticket.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's a shitty system as well. Like, do you remember when IRD, I think they at some point, they got IRD on board and they were like, yes, IRD is doing Realme. And they did it like mandatory for a while. And they were like, we can't do this ever again. So they turned it off. I think now it's not even like their primary method anymore. I don't know. Realme is a bit of a failure over here. I think anyway. Yeah. It annoys me that people don't support U2F.
Yeah. Well, it also could go SMS, but even SMS the prices must add up. If you've got people logging on each day, and even if you're paying like 0.01 cents per message, it must add up.
People do their like SMS works for 30 days. They'll often do that. You know? Which I don't mind that. That's still two-factor kinda. It's like two-factor tied to normally a cookie, sometimes your IP.
Yeah, I would quite often cookie and IP. Oh, no. Normally it's the cookie because I can move my laptop around and it doesn't re-auth
me. True, yeah, it must be just a cookie. Which, it's not super U2F-y at that point. It's better than nothing, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. We talked about U2F enough. I think it's just funny SMS has come up so much in the news.
Because it's just some swaps happen and, yeah.
I did think it was interesting that like T-Mobile, people on the darknet sell access to T-Mobile like admin panel logins. So this T-Mobile has like a third party one and people just sell the logins to it because if you're a third party, you can get them pretty easy. I was like, don't really like that.
Is that the one where you might manage your company or your company's phones or something?
Something like that. I don't know what it's for. I think it's for looking up like who a T-Mobile customer is. So it doesn't let you do the SIM swap. It just lets you look up all the information about a customer.
Which you'd need to do a SIM swap.
Which you would need to do some swap. Yeah, that would make sense. And then you have to do it separately. Of course, as we know, like the telcos in New Zealand aren't really better. If we want to do a SIM swap, if we think of over the last 2 years about the bugs, like if we think about just the issues in telcos, I guess you'd say, we know that we can do a SIM swap. You tried doing it and it didn't work at some point, right?
Yeah, well, I think it depends who you got. But then again, back in June, I was having to go into a telco store to get a to do some stuff, and the person in front of me basically rocked up and said, I've lost my phone. My phone number's this. Can I get a new SIM card? And the person said, oh, so your name's blah, 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 and they confirmed their name. And they said, oh, yeah, and this is your address? And they confirmed, and the person said, yep, that's my address. And they gave them a SIM card.
Yeah.
Though, so, yeah, apparently that they've introduced more stuff in the last, they've I did some back and forth about when I saw this happen. Called them out on it. And this is back and forth, and apparently they've implemented some stronger stuff around it.
Yeah, so I was in a Spark store recently, and they had a little sign up, which I don't know if it was for the, I don't know if it was for the, like, the employee or for the customer, but it was like, to do a SIM swap, you require these. And I was like, huh, okay. It's like weird that it's like so public, because it was like sitting in public.
Well, I suppose having it public means it helps them. It's all good, but I did it last time. They can go, lock the side says this.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And I suspect that's a lot of the stuff in the last week and stuff where they have been talking about it.
It did feel like that. It felt kind of reactionary. But
yeah. Yeah, but from what I understand is none of the actual user interfaces that they have actually mandatorily enforce it.
Yeah, so if the person you've got is just like, oh, no, I know you,
just
Greg,
make it
fine.
Happen. It's not like, oh, please actually type in the driver's license or passport number to go to the next step.
Yeah, the other thing is when I purchased a SIM and they were just like, what's your name? And I gave it to them and they're like, cool, good. Right? It's like... And then you don't.
But you didn't even need to give them a name in New Zealand.
You don't have to, but I presume they use the names that when you try and do a SIM swap, they can be like, oh.
Did they actually type it in?
The name?
Yeah.
Presume so. He asked for it.
Oh, yeah.
So I presume he wrote down the name, and then when I try and do a SIM swap with that SIM, he'll be like, you need to provide ID matching this name, which you could probably find someone who's got a similar name, depending. If it's a common name, that'd be pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
If someone's on prepay and all you need is to provide ID matching the name, I reckon you could do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Who knows? I got asked for my date of birth. I got it wrong because I lied. Yeah, you lie on your startup. Sign up and they're like, that's not the right date of birth. And you're like, wait, sorry. I meant 1st of January.
1970.
Yeah.
It's zero. Yeah, zero. Yeah. 0 seconds. Yeah.
I was born right on the epoch. What else we got? E-voting in Georgia. Was it Georgia with it? Hang on. So there's two different stories here.
Yeah.
The one that I care about is the blockchain voting one. Is that Georgia?
No. I'm not sure where the blockchain was. I know there was North
Virginia.
North Virginia had the let's vote on a mobile phone thing.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess the moral of all these stories is the voting in the United States is all fucked up. Like, what? Just use paper ballots, you dumb people. Right? Like, just...
consistently across counties.
Yeah. Like, paper ballots don't have a... You're not solving a problem. You're creating more problems. Right?
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. People just come out and say, e-voting's good. We can do our banking online. It's like, yeah, but your banks... If you ignore the stuff they have, a couple of ways. Banks are there to minimise fraud, not to actually... They insure against fraud. They're actually solving different problems than their integrity you require for e-voting.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many problems with voting and e-voting. So the thing, I used to be a big proponent of any kind of online voting or anything like that. The thing that swayed me was that there are studies that show that doing online voting doesn't increase voter turnout.
Yeah, the easier you make voting, the less people who turn out. And also, I don't know, for the count, the local and the regional councils in New Zealand, it's postal ballot. You actually get a lower turnout than when I think then they're like the last actual ballot for the actual physical had to go on a day for the local stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because when it's a particular day, people go, I actually have to do it on this day, and they'll plan it in.
Gotcha.
When it's a bit of paper, it's like, it just sort of gets... Yeah. You procrastinate more, right? You don't actually set aside the time to think about it and actually go and do it.
Yeah, the study I saw didn't go into the psychology. It just showed that you see techie people stop voting on paper and they start voting online. So there is a big increase in people who vote online as it goes up each year, but it's cutting out of the people who would be voting anyway. It's not increasing your voter turnout. After I saw that, I was like, okay, why would you ever do online voting then? If we know it doesn't increase voter turnout and it has all these problems, why would you do it? Of course, America has solved this with blockchain, right?
Yeah, blockchain solves everything.
Blockchain. Why would you take a problem like voting, which is already a hard problem to solve, and be like, blockchain will solve this?
Well, it most probably means that the minorities who are already disenfranchised and have a lower turnout, it's going to make it more difficult for them. So your particular party will get more votes.
Ugh. Ugh. Yeah,
it's gerrymandering without changing the electoral boundaries.
Yeah, because now, yeah. Someone said there's, one of the counties, Georgia, was like 700% voter turnout.
Oh, 234% voter turnout. And
that's pretty good. That's impressive.
Yeah, the machines were freezing and crashing and not registering and then registering like three times. And they had been through an incredible functional test and an incredible security test with that sort of, because obviously they've got it down pat, right?
Jesus. If only there was some kind of alternative system to computers that was reliable and had been used for a long time and didn't have significant, had less significant problems, I guess.
A bit of paper and a pen.
Yeah.
And you do it. You know, sure, it's in private in New Zealand, but it's still public enough that, you kicked your PowerPoint.
Oh, I kicked my PowerPoint?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
And, you know, there's enough scrutiny and oversight scrutineers that actually just check that it's going all right.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems ridiculous that you would ever try and do that. Anyway, it's happening. It's in America. All cyclists who stopped at a red light. See, I don't think we've seen any cyclists go through a red light tonight. And that guy stopped quick. So what else we got? E-voting. There was some interesting stuff. So I guess the two interesting things is, first of all, the Linux TCP DOS. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, that's great. You send the Linux kernel some TCP packets of a particular type, and you get a DOS, and the computer shuts down or crashes or something.
So I believe this one, it doesn't crash, it's like a CPU thing. So you send like one packet, and it has to do like 5 minutes of processing or something that, you know? Yeah. It's like a kind of CPU amplification style thing. So they patched it, but it's kind of interesting.
It was TCP, so you couldn't just spoof it. You actually had to have the right hand, but the handshake was involved.
It sounds like the kind of thing where if you had the right firewall in front of it, you could probably use something. You know, worst case, you could just block the IP address. But still, nice little DOS. I don't think anyone needs to really care about it, but it's interesting to see bugs in the TCP stack. And I guess this is what we see. We don't see buffer overflows anymore. We see like, if you do this particular packet, it'll use slightly more CPU, like that kind of attack. So, yeah.
And a lot of those also around the crypto and stuff. I mean, some of the crypto attacks have been just looking at the size of the packets and the rate the packets come out at and inferring information from that as well.
Yeah, a lot of crypto oracles lately. Bloodhound 2 is out. So this is Bloodhound's the thing. You run it. If you have access to any Active Directory account, you run it and it'll go through and go over every computer in the system, every username, every group, find basically a chain from your user to admin. So it'll be like, okay, log into this box, run Mimikatz. That'll get you this account. And that account's logged in on this server. From there, you can run Mimikatz again or you can exploit this group policy. It's nifty tool. I remember I ran it once on a client job. First time I ran it. Took me ages to get it set up because I hadn't used it before. Got it all working. Ran it. And I was like, hey, tell me how to get Active Directory. And it was like,
domain admin.
Domain admin. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And it's like, you're in the domain admin group. And I'm like, mother God. It was just like the dumbest thing where I was like, I've been in domain admin this entire time and no one told me? It's just so dumb.
Oh, car in the ASB.
Oh, yeah, he is. Whoa, that person is vaping hard. Did you just see that?
No, I missed it.
They just like blew out a massive vape cloud. Jeez. Okay, we're almost done. Bloodhound's got a dark theme now. I think that's the main thing. The ponies are out. They're kind of what you'd expect. Nothing really interesting there. The last thing here, this is presented at Black Hat. Via C3 CPUs have a backdoor in them. This is a hardware backdoor that normally to activate it, you need to be ring zero. You like change some flags and it enables like a backdoor command channel so you can run commands from user space that execute with root privileges or something. Like root is in like ring zero, like so bypass all the CPU predictions. They just accidentally turned it on a bunch of CPUs, it looks like. So, you know, by default it should be off. And if you want this debugging backdoor feature, you turn it on. Which I don't like it that much, but whatever, it's there, it's a debug feature. They just left it on by default on a bunch of CPUs. So kind of funny. So yeah, that's fire. I don't know what these CPUs are used for predominantly, but kind of interesting. Cool research anyway, that they found it.
Yeah. It's good to know that people are still poking around at the hardware level, because that stuff is just, right? You just sort of sit there and go, that's just black magic to me.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Okay, I think we're about done for today. Maybe next week we'll see more kind of like stories come out of Hacker Summer Camp.
Once everyone sort of digested it and actually...
Yeah, it's a lot, like, because there's just so much content, you don't know what actually is worth like looking into. So we'll see some stuff. Someone said there's a Drupal exploit, a Firefox exploit, some other stuff. So who knows which of those will stand the test of time, so, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, from what I understood, at least the Drupal had already been patched.
Yep.
I'm not sure whether the Firefox... I'm assuming the Firefox would have been patched.
You'd hope so.
Because, like, I mean, someone would be actually screaming from the hilltop, zero-day Firefox.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen people screaming zero-day Firefox, so I assume it's patched.
Yeah.
Or really, really complex to actually do.
Yeah, like no proof of concept out yet, maybe. Might be enough to stop people talking about it. Okay, I think we're done for today. Next week, hopefully we'll have Hugh. He slacked off today. He said he had to go home and, like, you know, deal with, I don't know. He left. He left us.
But he has joined us in the chat today.
He has joined us there.
Or someone called Hugh Davenport has joined us in the chat.
We should. He had a really bad rash that he needed to get the doctor to check out. Hey, it's making out like he has health problems. yeah. Hopefully we'll be back next week with you, maybe. We'll see. Thank you to Dave for coming on this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Check out his bus thing if you haven't already. It's on Twitter. NZKARIT. It's on
Twitter. And GitHub as well, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hope everyone has a nice
weekend. And do pull requests. Someone's already done a pull request, so I'll look at that this evening.
And we will see you next week. Yeah. Catch you later.
See you later.